Your teenage daughter rolls her eyes at your advice. Again, your colleague takes credit for your idea in the meeting. Your mother calls with unsolicited opinions about your parenting choices. Your partner leaves dishes in the sink despite countless reminders. Each day brings 1,000 small battles for control, and you're exhausted from fighting them all. What if I told you that 2 simple words could end this war? The let them theory emerged not from academic research or therapeutic practice, but from a moment of raw frustration. Millions have since tattooed these words on their skin, celebrities like Reese Witherspoon have praised its impact, and the phrase has become a cultural phenomenon. Yet its power lies not in novelty, but in addressing something ancient and universal, our exhausting compulsion to control what we cannot. This isn't another mindfulness technique or productivity hack. It's a fundamental shift in how we relate to the uncontrollable aspects of life, particularly other people. By learning to say let them to others' choices and let me to our own, we reclaim energy we didn't realize we were hemorrhaging. Picture your brain as a smartphone with limited battery life. Every time you worry about what someone thinks of you, that's 5% gone. Every attempt to change someone's behavior, another 10%. Every rumination about why they said that thing at dinner last week, more precious energy drained. By midday, you're running on reserve power, irritable and depleted, wondering why you're so tired when you haven't actually done anything physically demanding. When facing situations beyond your control, your amygdala floods your system with stress hormones designed for physical threats. Your brain cannot distinguish between a charging lion and your sister's disapproval. Both trigger the same ancient survival response, impairing your prefrontal cortex and reducing your capacity to handle what you actually can influence. The let them theory functions as a pattern interrupt. When you shift from I must fix this to I can allow this, you signal to your nervous system that no emergency exists, allowing your thinking brain to re-engage. What would you attempt if you truly didn't care what anyone thought? Fear of judgment acts as an invisible electric fence. We're evolutionarily wired for tribal belonging, and our brains still process disapproval as an existential threat. Here's the liberating truth. You have zero control over what anyone thinks about you. People form opinions based on their own experiences, wounds, and biases, factors entirely independent of you. Your mother-in-law's criticism reveals her relationship with perfection, not your worth. When you absorb this reality, the energy previously spent on impression management becomes available for choices aligned with your actual values. Airports reveal how we handle stress. During delays, some people spiral checking watches, complaining to staff, creating distress that changes nothing. Others accept the situation and find productive uses for the time. The circumstances are identical. The difference lies in where they direct attention. Those practicing let them, let the airline operate on its schedule, let the weather be what it is, experience less suffering because they're not fighting immovable realities. This principle extends everywhere. Your commute takes 40 minutes, whether you rage at traffic or listen to a podcast. Your colleague will be late, whether you stew or adjust. The coffee shop line moves at its pace, whether you glare at your phone or chat with someone nearby. The theory helps you distinguish what you can influence from what you cannot, directing energy toward effective action rather than futile resistance. This discernment becomes a workplace superpower. You can't control when your boss gives feedback, but you can control your preparation. You can't control office politics, but you can control your integrity. You can't control the promotion, but you can control your work's excellence. The paradox? When you stop contorting yourself for approval, you often become more genuinely likable because authenticity is magnetic in a world of performance. Your father criticizes your career. Your adult son makes poor decisions. Your partner overreacts constantly. You love them deeply, yet their behaviors create real pain. Family relationships carry unique intensity because they're embedded with history, expectations, and patterns formed before you had conscious choice. The impulse to control often stems from genuine care, yet becomes destructive when you try dictating others' choices. The frame of reference concept offers crucial insight. Your father's criticism comes from his lens, perhaps depression-era values around financial security or unfulfilled dreams. He's not seeing your choice clearly. He's seeing it through his own experiences and fears. Understanding this makes "let him have his opinion" easier because you recognize it's not really about you. This perspective becomes especially powerful with emotionally immature family members. Visualize difficult adults as 8-year-olds. Suddenly, their tantrum about holiday schedules or silent treatment over perceived slights makes sense. They never learned healthy emotional regulation. Let them feel angry or let them process this their way creates healthy boundaries while maintaining compassion. This doesn't mean tolerating abuse or staying in harmful relationships. It means recognizing the limits of your responsibility for others' emotions and making conscious choices about engagement. Sometimes the most loving thing, for both parties, is stepping back and allowing someone to own their journey. Adult friendships rest on 3 pillars. Proximity means regular interaction. Close friendships need roughly 200 hours together. Childhood provided this naturally. Adulthood requires intentional effort against geography and schedules. Timing involves life stage alignment. Friendships form easily between people navigating similar experiences: early parenthood, career shifts, retirement. Different stages require conscious work to maintain connection. Energy describes that intangible chemistry making conversation flow, which shifts as people evolve. These pillars reduce friendship anxiety. When a close friend becomes distant after moving or having children, recognize they're focused on their new chapter rather than feeling rejected. The theory guides building connections. Go first by introducing yourself and extending invitations. Then give new environments a full year. Most importantly, friendships naturally evolve. Some last lifetimes, others for seasons. Releasing expectations that all friendships maintain constant intensity lets relationships breathe and change organically. How do you help someone change without controlling them? The ABC loop balances influence with autonomy. People only change when they genuinely want to, not when pressured. Well-intentioned efforts often backfire, creating resistance. A. Apologize and ask. Acknowledge that change is their choice. Apologize for previous control attempts and ask permission to share concerns, creating openness rather than defensiveness. B. Back off. After expressing thoughts, give them space to decide. Model desired behavior instead of monitoring their progress. C. Celebrate. When you notice positive changes, offer specific, genuine appreciation. This reinforces their efforts without taking credit, strengthening internal motivation. This works because intrinsic motivation creates more sustainable change than extrinsic motivation. With a partner spending too much time on their phone, "I'm sorry if I've been critical about your phone use. Would it be okay if I shared how I feel when we're together, but not really connecting?" Then back off. Focus on being fully present yourself and genuinely appreciate moments when they engage without their device. The loop can expand to include D. Decide whether an unchanging aspect is truly a deal breaker, and E. End or evolve the relationship if fundamental values remain unmet. After releasing control over others comes reclaiming control over yourself. Let me represents profound personal agency, permission to define your own life rather than being defined by others' expectations. Let me try this venture. Let me speak my truth. Let me prioritize my well-being. These self-permissions create psychological space for authentic living. This mindset particularly empowers those who've spent years prioritizing others' needs, parents focused exclusively on children, partners who've subordinated dreams, individuals following conventional paths despite inner callings. The power lies in combining both philosophies. Let them without let me becomes passive acceptance. Let me without them risks self-centeredness. Together, they create balance. The let me era involves small, consistent choices to honor your needs, express your truth, and live according to your values, even when those choices don't align with others' expectations.
The energy previously spent managing others' perceptions becomes available for exploration, growth, and meaningful contribution. In a world demanding you shrink and conform, these phrases offer revolutionary self-liberation. Let them think what they think. Let them choose what they choose. And let you, finally, fully, unapologetically, live as the person you were always meant to be.